land really is the best art. Andy Warhol.
The crown jewel of the whole trail was by far definitely the Desolation Wilderness. It is just like something else over there. It is so cool. Yeah. It's just like the glaciers like came through and just scraped away like all of the dirt. So it's just like
a different
bare
planet.
Rock.
The lake.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of little lakes and alpine lakes. It was
amazing. We spent one day in the Desolation Wilderness where we took an easy day of only 10 miles and stopped and jumped in every single lake we passed, which was like almost every mile.
Yeah, it was about 7 lakes that we swam in, and then we'd dry off, hike for 20 minutes.
And then jump in again. And then that night, actually, we had some of the most incredible stargazing experiences we've ever had.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the trail, Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guests, a couple of high school sweethearts who have also fallen in love with thru-hiking and peak bagging. Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Brian Walsh and Christina O'Connell. How's it going, you two?
Great.
Yeah, it's going awesome. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the fact that you're high school sweethearts, because I am one person in a pair of high school sweethearts as well, and we've now been married, let's see, it'll be 33 years this October. So
congrats. Yeah,
we bonded quickly and it has lasted, so I hope
that's
the
so
same
awesome.
Thing.
Yeah, you get it right on the first try, that's what I always say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys listened to the podcast before?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've listened to a bunch of episodes. Well, we actually started listening to it like on our Tahoe Rim Trail through hike about a year ago. I think we have a friend, Nuggets, who was on here actually, who she gave us a bunch of trail magic on the AT and stuff. So that was our first episode that got us into it. And yeah, we've been listening to it a bunch ever since.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite podcasts to listen to while we hike.
Fantastic. Christina, that was the appropriate response. Whenever I ask somebody that question, I hope for the response of, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I listen to your podcast.
Oh yeah.
That was classic. All right. Hey, with all your time on the trail, have you picked up trail names? Because we try and go by trail names here on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. My trail name is Freight Train.
And I'm Pickles.
Freight Train and Pickles. What a combo. That's like peanut butter and jelly, ketchup and mustard, Freight Train and Pickles. They just go together, right?
I'm glad you think so.
The Freight Train carries all the pickles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, we'd love to hear the stories behind the trail name. So Freight Train, if you would do us the honor, how did you pick up Freight Train?
So I got the name Freight Train from our friend Vista, who, probably like a week or two into the AT. And I guess it was kind of just due to like the way that I hike. I kind of will be barreling through bushes and just kind of tripping and catching my feet. I kind of hike with a lot of power. And then more specifically, I guess you could say I'm more of a runaway freight train, because it would be far too often that Pickles would kind of stop in front of me and I would barrel her right over and just kind of zoned out hiking behind her, and I'd run into the back of her. So that was how I got the name Freight Train, kind of.
Yeah, but I didn't name him. Our friend Vista did, because he noticed when
he was a witness.
Yeah, so it was almost every day we'd get a trekking pole to the heel.
Yeah, she's the lead. She pretty much always hikes in the front. It's like how we roll.
If I don't, he just keeps going, and it's upset. It's, I don't know, I have like this ego, I guess, where if he gets too far away, I don't want to be like, Freight Train, come back. So I just get mad. And so he's learned to just stay behind me and, you know, We're both pretty fast, so.
She's really fast, yeah.
It's okay.
So a couple things already. A couple things I have to point out. One is you're what is known as an enthusiastic hiker. You're just barreling along, just going for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also the way you've described it, it's almost like the shopping cart phenomenon, right? If you're in the grocery store and someone is pushing the shopping cart behind you and they run up on your feet. I mean, that's like worst case scenario, right? I mean,
that hurts.
Yeah, especially when you're climbing down a really rocky mountain.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's when you don't want that to happen.
When we're going down and I can hear him right behind me, he knows not to get offended when I'm just like, back up, or like, you're too close to me. Cause right there.
And Pickles, we'll get to your trail name in just a second here, Pickles. The point about him, you wanting to hike first in front of him so that he doesn't pull away. I think there's always, there's that dynamic in a group where if you're not the fastest hiker, you don't want to be the first person. I know I don't. I don't want to be the first person to say, hey, let's take a break. Let's take a breather. Right. And so someone's charging along and you're trying to keep up. That can be frustrating if you don't mind each other's pace and you guys are planning on hiking kind of together. Right. So I can totally understand that.
And a big help to keep us, I mean, it's crazy how we're together all the time. We love it. But a great way to keep us together is we share the same set of AirPods. So once you get a certain distance, they start to kind of break up. Mm-hmm. And that's really frustrating to have your, you know, audio cut in and out. So that kind of just keeps us together also.
Yeah, we did that for all of our through hikes we've done. I'm right. She's left. That's my AirPod.
Is that also your political leanings?
Yeah, right.
No, that is brilliant. I assume Pickles with you. Well, no, actually, it would be Freight Train then who would keep the phone in his pocket. Right.
Yeah.
If Freight Train is second, right, then that kind of keeps Pickles from charging out too far. She gets too far away.
True. Yeah.
It's going to break up.
I'll tell you, on a lot of the steep ups, she goes a lot faster than I can't keep up. She loses me pretty much. So.
Yeah, I like the kind of, I'm more of a sprinter than a long distancer, which is kind of a weird, like we both love to take breaks. We are really fast hikers. Honestly, we're fast walkers. Like maybe it's a New England thing, but we have a very naturally fast pace. So I like to just kind of really go all out when it gets difficult and just power through it, which I then, you know, definitely look forward to our nice long breaks.
We're fast hikers, but we're kind of slow long distance hikers because we take a ton of breaks. We'll sprint for a couple miles, sit in the stream for a couple hours, and then sprint for a couple more miles. You know what I mean? Like it's very, it's funny. If you were to track our GPS location, it would be like, you know, really jittery as we
sporadic
travel across the,
So have you ever heard the story of the tortoise and the hare?
Oh yeah.
Oh
so
yeah.
What you're describing is the hare, his
MO
was to go really fast for short spurts and then, you know, kind of take breaks and have fun.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of the other thru hikers around us were always so surprised that they would stick around us because they knew how fast we were. But like, you know, they were slow and steady and we were not.
We were fast and not steady, which is just how we like it. You know, I like to think that we took the reason we're so fast is because we take all those breaks. It kind of like energizes us and then it motivates us to get to the next break, you know?
Yeah. And we've done our fair share of night hikes too, you know? But we had friends, we wanted to stick around and it was really great that we just as a pair had similar hiking styles.
Yeah. And pace.
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pickles. Let's hear the story behind Pickles.
You know, I called my name being Pickles when I had a jar of pickles that I brought from Boston to
Amicalo.
Yeah.
with it
on the plane. I was like, they're going to call me Pickles. And, that was one of the first suggestions, and I waited it out for the first couple weeks trying to hope for a more badass thru hiker name Vista actually named me Pickles. He also suggested
Speed Goat.
Yeah,
right?
Speed Goat. And I just felt like that was almost too awesome of a name for me. I don't know. I didn't feel like I lived up to it yet. So I went with Pickles, and I like it a lot. I like that it makes people smile when I tell them that's my name. I also have a story that there were like maybe two or three other Pickles on the trail in 2021. And I don't know if I should get into this. It's a little dramatic.
We love drama. We love drama.
There's some pickle drama. Okay, I'll dish it. I noticed kind of early on that's one of the other Pickles were starting to sign their names in the logbooks as OG Pickles. And I was like, I don't know, why can't we all just be Pickles in the same pickle jar, you know? I mean, I guess she wanted to differentiate, but that's cool. I didn't really think of it that much until Trail Days, where I met two other Pickles. And I didn't know at the time I was meeting OG Pickles when I had a dance-off against her, because we were in this raffle for a backpack, and both, you know, the name Pickles got called, and I tried to like let them know if my name was called. I tried to like say my nickname, Kiki, like Pickles slash Kiki. I didn't want to dance off, but yep, I got called up there, and it's such a painful regret of mine that I failed pretty miserably in the dance off. OG Pickles crushed me with, she had pretty good moves, but I wouldn't say like really good moves. And the hard part was, I was like, can you play some music? And he didn't have the DJ or whatever didn't have any music. So the crowd just starts clapping. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I just was so caught off guard. I didn't have any moves. I just started copying OG Pickles and like trying to just have fun with her. I wasn't planning to like beat her or anything. And along the rest of the Appalachian Trail, sometimes listening to music, I would just like get so like,
I should have beaten her.
Like, I have so many good moves. And honestly, if she's listening to this, OG Pickles, I challenge you to a rematch. I want a rematch. I want to dance off again. Maybe we can meet up at a Trail Days one of these years.
Well, she threw down the gauntlet when she started writing OG Pickles. I mean, that's kind of like a slap in the face, right? To all the pickles out there.
Yeah, maybe. I did.
She was very offended.
I met another Pickles at Trail Days who was like, are you OG Pickles? And I'm like, no, are you? And she was like, no. And we both were like, what's up with that? Brian made me feel better by saying maybe it stands for old gross Pickles, but I don't want to I'm not trying to trash talk. I just want a friendly rematch.
Just a friendly dance off. That's
she threw down the gauntlet by writing OG Pickles. You have now thrown down your gauntlet to say, hey, let's do this again and let's put some music to it. How do you have a dance off without any music?
It was painful. It was rough. Yeah. It was really bad, and I was just not feeling it. But I feel myself pretty often while I'm hiking, listening to music, blasting Beyonce, and I feel like I got some moves and I want to go.
Okay. Hey, you know, that's a good question. What is the best hiking music out there? I mean, if you're pounding miles, what should you be listening through the headphones?
We really love Daft Punk.
Yeah, we listened to a lot of Daft Punk on the uphills. That was because it was just that like boom, 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 boom.
Steady
type,
beat.
Yeah, the steady beat type thing, like a really rhythmic thing for the uphills. And that just kind of like sets your pace to just keep the pace. And then in the downhills, we like to listen to more like podcasts or, you know, something just to kind of distract your mind from the pain in your feet and the ankles and knees, you know.
Got it. So no Fleetwood Mac.
We did listen to Fleetwood Mac.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah. And our good friend who actually opened his house to us his parents.
Yeah, Frail Johnny.
His name. Yeah. His music's called Frail Johnny, and it's very peaceful and like kind of sad. And We listened to it every single day.
Yeah, it like started our morning every morning, like the whole AT pretty much. We would. It's just like a 5-song album. So it was like it's the first 20 minutes.
If I were to imagine what kind of music Frail Johnny would sing, it goes with the name, right? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah. It's a little folksy
type
music.
Okay.
It's very interesting. It's really good. It's actually, highly recommend it. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah.
And we actually stayed with him on the Appalachian Trail. They live in Asheville, North Carolina. So they like picked us up and we spent a weekend at their house.
Right before Trail Days, actually.
A lot of help. They helped us out.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you both a question and I want you to pick your answer silently in your head before you reveal it. All right. Because I want to compare your answers. I don't want you to be on the same page here.
Got it.
All right. So I know that you've listened to the podcast before. You've listened to a number of episodes. And I want to know, who is your favorite guest? Which one was your favorite episode? So think of that. Think of that in your minds right now. All right. Pickles, what do you have?
I feel like we haven't listened to enough episodes.
Wait. We listened to a ton.
I know. Wait. Give me a second. I'm trying to think of my favorite. That's a hard question. It kind of makes me feel like I want to say the couple that I'm almost jealous of. I want to be them.
Tick and Talk.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're great.
They are they're so cool.
They're so smart too. I love like their spreadsheet and stuff. Data. Just the way they go at stuff.
Yeah.
So
and their TikToks and reels are incredible. They make it look so easy and it's really not.
They have a real talent, not only for social media, but for through hiking. Absolutely.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
And they are really, they love the statistics. I mean, they crunch all the numbers. So
they really make a science out of it.
Yeah. And they do whatever they want. Like, I think it's so cool how they did the American.
It's not called anything. They did the Pacific Northwest Trail, right?
And then they
Great
canoed.
Divide Trail and canoed back on the Columbia River.
Like super we cool. could we should do that someday. Like so cool.
Okay. Freight Train, how about you?
I really liked Quadzilla episode. It's great. That was a good one. I still really like the one with our friend Nugget. That was a good one just because like we knew her and that was kind of cool to I feel like we got to know her more in that than Caleb Bolt,
that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's really cool. We like her a lot.
Yeah. You know, I've done a lot of interviews. I think this is like episode 235, 240. We're in season 5 now. And so I've talked to a lot of people, but there are some stories that still, they stick out in my mind. There's some moments. And, you know, one of the moments with her that I remember very clearly is that she picked up a boyfriend on the trail and he was from Florida and he convinced her to go down and do some hiking in Florida and they're hiking through a swamp and, you know, waist deep water. And he's saying, you know, don't worry about the alligators. They're not interested in people. And, you know, I'm not sure about that statement. I remember the you know, just listening to that and thinking, I don't know. I don't know that I trust that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Florida Trail, I don't know.
I don't think I want to.
Maybe someday, but it just doesn't.
We have so many trails we want to do. That would just be just to check it off.
I feel like all the worst parts of the AT were when we were hiking through like a swamp. So I don't know why I'd want to do that for 1,000 miles.
Yeah. But
not a lot of good things happen in swamps.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for your feet.
Yeah.
Freight Train, what was the first episode you mentioned? The first guest?
Quadzilla.
Yeah. Again, and I talked to a lot of people. I am not caught off guard too many times. When I asked him about where he was from in his childhood, that totally just blew me away. Blew me away. The fact that he was born in China and then got shipped over by his family to escape, you know, what was going on over there all by himself to the American South. Crazy. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that was crazy. One other one I remember that was really good was that there was somebody a couple episodes before, I think, that was he yo-yoed the PCT. And he had some crazy story of him like sliding down this like icy pass, like a couple hundred feet. I can't remember what his trail name was. But that was a good episode too. That guy, he was in it for the suffering. He was, you know what I mean? He was just like doing it.
Yeah. John Schwartz maybe?
Yeah. I think so.
I'm remembering that
it was,
too.
Yeah.
I remember his picture that I posted of him holding up his arm that was all.
Yes, that's definitely it. Yeah.
Broken. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Ouch.
Oof. Okay. I'll try to avoid that.
You know what? It's always a pleasure to talk to listeners out there. And so I'm glad that you guys are here. I'm glad that we connected on social media and here we are talking to each other. It's fantastic. Yeah. You are familiar with the format of the show. So you know that towards the end of the episode, we have a segment called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. I'm going to ask you to share some trail wisdom. And I love when I talk to couples because we get two for one. I get trail wisdom from each one of you. So be ready for that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
The must bring gear review.
All right. Hey, another feature we've been doing this season is the must bring gear review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company, Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Freight Train and Pickles, what is your must bring piece of gear out there? And I'll let you decide who goes first.
Okay. Because it'd be different if we were seeing our individual pieces of gear versus the ones we share. Which we do. We share. Like, yeah, we share a lot of gear. So, and we love our sleeping pad and our tent and our filter water bag. But if we're going individually, it's really, I think I'm going to have to say my darn tough socks, but it's almost a tie between my Hoka Challengers. It's just what works for me. My socks are actually like the regular day socks. They're really thin, and I had hives on my feet throughout the trail and actually my entire body, and I still don't know why. But I had to actually get off the trail in Franklin because it was so bad. I like painful to even stand up or just like laying down. I like wanted to scratch my skin off, and it was really bad. But I ended up getting a steroid shot, which helped my poison ivy I got on day two of the trail. And they just kind of like just came and went. And I really took to heart the advice that the guys at
Outdoor 76,
they were telling people, you know, no one quits because of blisters on your feet. And I imagined that in my mind as no one quits because they have hives and they're itchy. Like you just push through that.
Yeah. We never really found out why.
No, I feel like I might be allergic to my own
flare
sweat.
Up every now and then.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? Allergic to your own sweat. That'd
be probably... I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be, honestly.
I couldn't figure out if it was like detergent or something I was eating. It just, I couldn't relate it to anything. It just kind of happens. So that, you know, the taking care of my feet and letting them breathe through the... I did spend the first 1,000 miles in boots, but that was definitely a mistake.
I'd be tat. Jeff Oliver, maybe you've seen his YouTube channel. He also gives the advice of never quit on a bad day.
Yes.
For sure.
Quit on a bad day. You're going to quit, quit on your own terms. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, we never thought about quitting.
Yeah. I would say just never quit.
Nice. Nice. And that, and Pickles, that's a great, great choice because you want to start with your feet. The feet aren't happy. Nobody's happy. If you take care of your feet, you're going to go a long way on the trail. So that's a great must bring piece of gear, those darn tough socks, or even the Hokas. So yes. Freight Train, how about you?
Well, it's interesting you broke it up by our shared gear versus our personal gear, because I was going to say we use a double wide sleeping pad, like an inflatable, it's an X-Ped two-person sleeping pad, which is probably my favorite piece of gear because it's like sleeping on a cloud. I love that thing.
Yeah.
We had on the AT, we actually, the only one we could get a hold of was a winter version. So it was like a little bit heavier, but a little more durable. Like we never once popped a leak in it, like the entire AT or anything. And it just served us so well. Love that thing. Yeah. It's, we actually... still sleep on it every now and then, like when we'll go over people's houses and stuff, and like it's like better than an air mattress. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Taking a double wide on the trail with you, that's very hiker trashery. So yeah.
Yeah, it's great because I mean it weighs less than two like Therm-a-Rest, you know, Neolites or whatever. So it's a little weight savings, I'd say.
We did switch to the 3-season instead of the 4-season.
Yeah, we got a new one. Actually, they have amazing customer service too. I used it the whole AT, and then the like the seams in between two of the air compartments kind of got a hole in between them. And they like just sent us, they actually discontinued that model, so they sent us like the newest version, just totally free and stuff. So yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're great. A Swiss nice. Company. They're really good.
Throw out the company name one more time.
Exped.
There you go.
Yeah. I have their sleeping pillow too, which is what I would say if it was for my personal gear, because the importance of good sleep is like huge out there. So,
yeah.
Well, hey, let's keep on talking about gear.
It's the hiking pole.
With the hiking pole. Now, this is pole, P-O-L-L, like a survey, not like the kind of thing you carry in your hand. Mm-hmm. I always like to explain that because I think it's very clever. And I think I came up with that, although somebody has pointed out to me that it's also now a regular feature in, I don't know if it's Outside Magazine or Backpacker Magazine, but, you know, I think they copied from me.
Copied you.
I'm just going to say that. I should have trademarked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what we do with the hiking poll is it's a 7-question survey. Each of you is going to have a chance to answer both questions. We'll go through these pretty quickly. And it's going to help me give you a score on the sanity scale from 1 to 100. 1 being completely insane, 100 being completely sane. Anybody, as you know, who has done a long trail like the AT, it's an automatic 25-point deduction. Your highest possible score right off the bat is 75.
All right.
Did you deduct that even more? Did it used to be 20 points off and now it's 25?
Could be. It's an evolving podcast. The host kind of gets confused sometimes and, you know, changes it up. Just the way it goes.
I think it's, it should be 30 points off.
I was just going to say 30. For you guys, it's 30 because you pointed that out, Pickles. It's 30. Yeah. Now, Pickles, how would you score Freight Train on the sanity scale?
Okay. It's maybe 50.
50, right in the middle.
He is one of the most happy-go-lucky hikers that it's insane. Like, he makes people upset because he is enjoying himself when everyone is miserable. Like, we're hiking through hailstorms or climbing like incredibly steep and rocky trails, and he is having a blast. Yeah. And everyone
of course he is. He's putting hiking poles into the back of your heel. He's barreling over. I mean, what's not to enjoy there?
Nothing's gonna stop me, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's an insane thing, the insanity level.
Okay. Yeah. And Freight Train, how about Pickles? Where would you score her? Number one, one is completely insane. 70 is insane as she can get.
I would say you're probably 55.
Oh.
You're pretty insane, but a little more insane than I am. She kind of, you know, brings me back to reality sometimes. I'll be like, let's go hike up to the top of that peak right now. And she has to, you know, remind me that there's a thunderstorm coming. It's a horrible idea. And we could die. So
now, I'm enjoying this dynamic between the two of you because we kind of get some insight into your relationship. She gives you a 50. You come back with a 55. You know, you look nicer to her. That's very cute. All right. So here we go. 7 questions. We'll take turns with who goes first. So in this particular one, the first one, we're going to go first with Freight Train. Trekking poles or no trekking poles?
Trekking poles, absolutely. I never used trekking poles before the Appalachian Trail, but just researching the Appalachian Trail and everyone said that they were so helpful, I was like, okay, I'll do it. And they really are. Like, by the end of the trail, it was like I was walking on 4 legs practically. They were like a part of extension of my arms, you know. And now I wouldn't hike without them. They're great. They've saved me so many times from falling.
Yeah,
like so many times.
And I can take it to the heel a couple times for
it's worth it. Yeah, you gotta watch out when I have
definitely. Watch out, he's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah,
Pickles, how about you?
Oh yeah, and specifically Hiker Hunger trekking poles. They're an awesome brand I learned about on the Appalachian Trail. And I definitely recommend them to anyone. They're very affordable, very durable, and they're a really awesome couple that owns the brand with a really cute dog, and they have amazing customer service.
Is that their Instagram handle too? Hiker Hunger?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hiker Hunger.
Yeah, I see a lot of their stuff pop up. That's good mm-hmm. stuff.
Friends wearing their shirt, actually. They're great. Their shirt
on, yeah. Hiker Hunger.
Nice.
Sorry, yeah. I mean Freight Train. I don't want
to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, who's Brian? Freight Train. All right, Pickles. Second question. Boots or trail runners? What's on your feet?
I actually have my Hokas on right now. And definitely trail runners. I learned the hard way, I guess, after 1,000 miles, I learned that boots are like bricks on your feet. They're heavier. They're clunkier. They just like, I figured, oh, I'm just like kind of clumsy because I slam my feet into rocks so often. But then I switched to trekking shoes and I was jumping around on top of those rocks. Like, it was such a huge difference.
So you started out on boots, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Oboes.
Point deduction here. Okay. Freight Train, how about you?
Yeah, definitely trail runners. I switched to trail runners 100 miles in at Outdoor 76. And I was wearing like, they weren't really boots before. They were like Solomon's kind of, they were like half boot type things. But yeah, definitely trail runners. I feel like a lot of people think that they need all that extra protection because their feet are always kicking rocks and stuff. And then they don't realize that you switch to trail runners and you're just not kicking rocks like that anymore because your feet are more agile. You know, like you don't need the protection as much.
It's kind of a day hiker versus a through hiker type thing, I feel like, or a weekend hiker. You learn a lot as a through hiker.
Absolutely. Now, this next question you can answer together because I assume it applies to both of you. When it comes to your shelter system, tent, tarp, hammock, bivy, or cowboy camping?
Tent.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we have a Z-Pax triplex,
mm-hmm.
and
it's like our palace.
We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we would love to get into hammock camping. We've definitely thought about that.
We've also thought about cowboy camping. We were in Joshua Tree this past weekend, and it was beautiful but cold. So we were in our tent.
Yeah.
Who carries the tent?
I carry the tent.
I carry the sleeping pad though.
Okay. Yes. How much does the tent weigh?
I think it's like 2 pounds without the stakes. So maybe like 2 pounds, 8 ounces or something.
And how much does the sleeping pad weigh?
Pretty close. Probably like 2 pounds, two ounces. Really? Yeah.
Okay. Because pretty it's even. The double wide.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a double wide pad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And my sleeping pad, our sleeping bags zip together. They're Nemos. And, mine is way bigger than his because I'm a woman and I need more down to keep me warm. And
it's kind of surprising. Yeah, the woman's 15-degree bag is like 6 ounces or 8 ounces more than the men's bag. Just has more insulation, I guess.
Yeah, it takes up like my whole backpack. So I carry our pad.
It's huge compared to mine.
That is counterintuitive.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Honestly, it might be my favorite piece of gear because it's so puffy and it was so hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. We looked into actually, we thought about doing a double wide sleeping bag, but we wanted to be able to zip them up. So we got the Nemo.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. We already
answered question four. We're moving right along. Question four, sleeping bag or quilt. You guys have answered that. And I'll have you know that, you know, I wrote down three words that I'm trying to work into the podcast for this episode, and counterintuitive. I've already used one of them. So we're ahead of the game.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it. Yeah. And I used it in the correct context too. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Question five. When it comes to food, stove, cold soak, or stoveless? Pickles, your turn.
Definitely stove, but he's carrying it and he's cooking all of it too.
That's the best way to go, in my opinion. Yeah. You get all the benefit and none of the drawback. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he carries most of our food. I carry some snacks. I have to carry my pickles most of the time.
Yeah, she still carries pickles. Not in a glass jar anymore.
No.
They do make pickles in a bag.
Yeah.
If you carry a glass jar of pickles, that's an automatic 10-point deduction, even though it didn't.
That's how I got my trail name. She had a glass.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I carried it until Neil's Gap for the first 4 days. So, yeah. I was planning to put it into a Ziploc, but that just seemed like a bad idea too. So
that would have been bad.
It comes with a handy dandy carrying case with this glass jar, right? So.
Exactly. Yeah. Who needs? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Right. But we're chefs on the trip. I mean, he is.
I would definitely love our dinners. Love the stove. We tried. We did a backpacking trip in Mineral King Sequoia last year, where we tried to do no stove. And I mean, I think we pretty much just ate our lunches. Like we do like kind of like a tortilla wrap with like cheese and pepperoni and stuff. And we had that for lunch and for dinner. And we just got sick of it. It was just like too much of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would cold soak, but.
We just got an Excalibur actually after listening to Tick and Talk on your podcast. It's
a dehydrator. Yeah, we're trying to get into making our own dehydrated meals.
Now, Freight Train, Pickles has set you up. She said that you are quite the chef. So I want to hear about your cooking prowess out there. That's the other word. That's the second word, prowess.
Oh, no.
Your cooking prowess out on the trail. I mean, what is your specialty out there? And if you tell me ramen, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. So she's put you on a high pedestal.
It's not ramen. Probably mac and cheese is like our big one. And not just mac and cheese, but we would also do a lot of times like rotini pasta with the Knorr sauce packet pesto. It's just like a little powdered pesto thing. You mix it with a little water. And I put that in with the a couple salmon packets. I always carried a little bit of olive oil. And I also carried a little Ziploc of Parmesan cheese.
Not a little, a lot.
Basically, yeah, every time we would resupply, I would be like, all right, I only need like half this Parmesan cheese, but I just couldn't bring myself to throw out the other half. So I would always hike out with like a full container of Parmesan
cheese. That was his luxury item. Yeah. It's a bag of Parmesan cheese.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, if you're bringing the olive oil and the Parmesan cheese, okay. I'm impressed.
Good job. Yeah, it's really good. And then couscous. We would do probably like 2/3 of our meals were couscous because you only need a cup of water, boils up in like 3 minutes, and it's like ready to eat super quick. And like a thing of uncooked pasta weighs like twice as much as a thing of uncooked couscous, but they kind of fill you up about the same. So couscous
Why do you think you have to say it twice? Couscous. Could it be couscous?
I like to say couscous, like adding couscous. The third couscous.
It's just fun. Fun to say.
Yes.
It is.
Okay. Freight Train, how about this question? Life is better above or below the tree line?
Definitely above. I would definitely live life above the tree line. It's the best.
I feel like it comes off as such a like half glass empty type of answer when you say below the tree line, but it's safer, it's warmer, and it's beautiful in its own way under the tree line, you know, and it's closer to town. I would just, yeah, he is always so amped to try to sleep on the top of the peaks. And I'm like, but it's going to be windy and exposed, and we kind of even each other out. I feel like sometimes I'm just like not feeling it. And other times I'll be like, okay, let's go do it. Like, let's hope it doesn't storm up there. But
it's usually great.
Yeah, it's usually great. I guess
we're getting key insights into your relationship. I mean, Freight Train is charging full speed ahead, and yes, Pickles exactly. Saying, hey, don't forget. Think about this. Are you sure you want to do that? So
yeah. Nice. Yeah.
All right. Last question on the poll. What's more important, pack weight or luxury items? What was your base weight?
Me first. My actually don't know exactly what my base weight was, but I weighed myself like with my full pack with like 4 or 5 days of food all fully loaded, and it was like 38 pounds or something like that. So I would say my base weight was probably in the 25 to 30 area, so a little on the heavy side.
Yeah,
sure.
we definitely like our luxury items. A lot of food and
yeah, our luxury item is food. we just carry extra food.
I carry a lot of layers too. They say you pack your fears, and we're definitely
we got better at that.
Yeah, I don't know. We were like in New Hampshire. Like, how has our pack weight not changed? We've lost so many random. We brought a cribbage board and a deck of cards and. We brought some crazy stuff when we first set out because we didn't know that, you know, we thought maybe we'd get bored, but we had no time to be bored, you know, or just eat and go to sleep and then hike.
Thomas, also known as Pomelo, atypical French guy. That's the episode came out just a couple weeks, a week ago, maybe. He brought a charcuterie board because he's French, you know, and so need something to cut. On, you know, the charcuterie board.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, wow.
Also, if you're packing your fears, freight train, you must be scared of Parmesan cheese because that sounds like your luxury item right there, buddy.
No, I'm scared of not having enough Parmesan cheese.
That's right.
I'm always strapped with that Parm.
Yeah. All and right, I would
well, I know that
makeup.
Go ahead, Pickles. Go ahead.
Like, I was afraid of getting, like, I have a sensitive nose, like, to smells and things, you know, sharing a tent with him, I was a little worried. So I packed some like essential oils and I had a tiny little makeup thing when I was in town. I would just like throw it on. And yeah, we're definitely more of a, I mean, on the AT, we were more of a luxury item. We hope to become ultra light packers someday, maybe.
It's always the goal. But my mantra is to like get really light gear so that you can carry more fun stuff that makes you happy. You know.
Yeah.
Now Pickles, did freight train's natural scent, did it just get to be too much sometimes or you didn't notice after a while?
Yeah, no, I got used to it. Surprisingly, I got used to all the smells around me that, you know, it's so true. You can smell like laundry detergent on the day hikers once you're out there long enough from miles away.
They smell so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember it. In the Smoky Mountains, I feel like, is when I first started noticing it. And that was our first time going like 7 days without going into town. And I was about to like ask for someone's soda that they were just in their hand. I was like, can I just have that? I was feeling feral.
Nice. Now, I know the two of you are on the edge of your seats wanting to know what your scores are.
Oh, yeah.
I got to put your answers through the John Freaking Muir Pod algorithm. Got to do some math, so just bear with me. I got to carry the 3, I'm going to divide by √3, and then multiply by pi. And we're going to adjust for a wind chill temperature of 108, negative 108 on top of Mount Washington that happened this last week or so. Mm-hmm. And I come up with a couple of surprising scores here. I mean, I would assume that Freight Train, with his charging ahead recklessness, happy-go-lucky attitude, would score lower on the sanity scale. But lo and behold, Freight Train, you got a 57.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
And Pickles, I'm sorry to say that some of your answers kind of threw me for a loop a little bit here. And you scored a 46.
Wow. Oof. Oh, wow. I'm proud of that score. So low. Nice. Never heard a lower one on your pod.
No one's ever called me the sane one before out of the two of us. So it's
wow, that's great. Honestly, I get you think I'm insane when I start growling and roaring on the trail.
She's a very vocal, like
yeah.
When we're doing the climbs and stuff.
Yeah, I like to just let it out, you know? Why hold that in? And so I get kind of I just start growling and roaring, and Brian's like, after a few minutes, he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fine.
It's pretty funny. It's hilarious, actually.
All right, hey, next segment we're gonna get into some stories from the trail. We'll hear about some growls and some roars and some other stuff. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna hear about where you grew up and how you ended up where you are and how you got involved in thru hiking, and we're gonna hear about some of your adventures. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. This episode is sponsored by Jolly Gear. Are you tired of compromising between the ventilation of a button-down and the full protection of a sun hoodie? With the Triple Crown button-down, you can have the best of both. Plus, their fun standout patterns will have you the talk of the trail. Visit them at jollygear.com. Through hiker owned, Jolly Gear, where fun meets functional.
And welcome back. We are talking to Freight Train and Pickles, or as indicated on the screen, Pickles and Freight Train, about their experiences out in the woods. Where did you two grow up, and how did you get involved in thru hiking?
So we both grew up in Millis, Massachusetts, same town. I got into hiking and backpacking pretty young. I was in the Boy Scouts. We did a backpacking trip up in the White Mountains. We did the Franconia Ridge, Labor Day 2011 or something like that. I'll never forget it. And I was just immediately so hooked on backpacking and the White Mountains in general. And from there, we would be bagging peaks and stuff, or I would. This was before we were together. I was probably 15 or 16. And on one trip, we were doing a 50-mile trip from Mount Washington all the way out over the Bonds. And we met somebody who was a thru hiker, this the most classic thru hiker character you could imagine. He was in his 60s, huge beard. He was wearing a kilt. He was super eccentric guy. And he just told us he was hiking there all the way from Georgia. And he'd been going for 5 months and, just jaw on the floor. Me and all my friends were what? That's crazy. And pretty much ever since then, I've known I wanted to do it. But I don't know, never as I'm going to do it. Just oh, that'd be cool. Oh, that's a cool thing that exists. Yeah. And then it wasn't until we were together that we started talking about it more. Right.
Yeah. I can't really remember when I first found out about the Appalachian Trail. I feel like just living in New England, it was just, something we knew about. But I come from a pretty, athletic family. My mom's a personal trainer and group fitness instructor. And I've grown up pushing myself and, physically. So he is the one who showed me backpacking though. He brought me on my first backpacking trip. It was an insanely big trip for my first. It was 18 miles on the first day and 12 the second day.
In the White Mountains.
Yeah, up over Z Cliff.
He was a trooper.
It was really hard, but I had a ton of fun.
You wouldn't be with him anymore. Right there could be a deal breaker.
Could have been.
Yeah. I got sick after. I put everything into that hike. I was delirious going up the Z Cliff, and we had huge, how does someone have such a huge backpack for a weekend trip? You know, you pack your like big sweatshirts and like, it's funny because I thought I needed boots back then, but I was in sneakers because I didn't even have boots. And who knows, maybe that helped. But yeah, he definitely quickly brought me into the backpacking
And
life.
she got hooked pretty quick too. She loved it, you know, like, 'cause pushing yourself is something you enjoy.
Oh
You know what I
yeah.
mean? That's just kind of part of your who you are as a person. So it just kind of came really naturally to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So then it just became like we would do the White Mountains hikes. We went to we were in we met in high school together, and we started dating like my senior year. And then we both went to different colleges, but we stayed together, and we would take trips up to the White Mountains every now and then to go bag peaks. Like, we were slowly working on getting the 48 4,000 footers, which we never finished. We actually have, I think I have like 44 and she has 43.
We tried to finish right before the Appalachian Trail, but we just couldn't get to
Well,
isolation.
unfinished business. I mean,
Finished
that gives you
business
something
it is.
to shoot for. Now,
Oh, yeah.
freight train, you mentioned your senior year. You started dating in your senior year. That leads me to believe that either she's older or younger than you.
She's actually a grade below me, but she's a month older than me.
Yeah, I stayed
Oh,
back in
wow.
second grade with my twin sister because we were a little underdeveloped. But he was actually homeschooled until his sophomore year of high school. And so we went to a really small high school, like 400 kids in the whole building, same building as the middle school. Like we shared the same cafeteria with the middle school. Like it was a very small school. We love Millis public schools. We love them and they love us actually. They followed our whole trail and they like made us posters when we got back. I'll have to send you some pictures of their little freight train and pickles drawings because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was
They are
awesome.
so creative and they made us a video of saying like you guys can do it. And anyway, I'm getting off track, but
Now,
yeah, we
freight train and pickles. I have to ask the question. I have a great story about when I met my wife in high school, and I sat down next to her. Like the first day of school, I sat down next to her in a biology class. There's an open seat, and I could see out of the corner of my eye she was looking at me. And she said, "Excuse me." And I thought, "Oh, here we go. This is it." And she said, "Can you please move? I was saving that seat for my friend." So I moved to the back row, and then didn't talk to her. We didn't talk again until like 11th grade. So middle
Wow.
grade. But those are her first words ever to me: "Can you
Yeah.
please move?" So I want to hear about the story how you two, you know, first met in high school.
Yeah.
I don't
Well,
know
you
if.
know, he was fresh meat coming in to a school where we all know each other's middle names and favorite colors. So when all my friends were like, "Oh, have you seen this Brian? Like he seems
The new
cute,
kid.
you know, the new kid." I was like, "Oh yeah, he is kind of cute." And it was in our TV class actually that we paired up on a few projects and it was kind of a immediate spark. We pretty
Yep,
much
started making videos together.
started well, it was just an excuse to start being together.
We didn't get a lot of videos
Now, Pickles,
done.
if you had told that story, if someone had asked you that story early on the AT and you told that story, Brian could have ended up with the trail name of Fresh Meat.
That, yeah, that's a
Yeah,
good
he was.
one.
Yeah, he was this smiley homeschooled kid who wanted to make all the friends. He had no problem making friends though. He
No.
not at
Now,
all.
was he a little bit awkward because he just had no social skills from being homeschooled all those years?
Yeah, a
In
little
the
awkward.
best way. Yeah.
I went to private school when I was younger, and then I was homeschooled for a while, and then so I've been in all the types of schools.
Okay.
So I had a bit of a
Yeah, he's
you're
been missed.
a connoisseur of schools.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's smart.
But
Nice.
yeah.
Now, Pickles, do you have an identical twin sister?
You know, we don't know for sure. I always feel awkward answering that because we don't know if we're identical or fraternal. We haven't been tested. We want to take the test, but fraternal twins runs in my on my mom's side of the family, so are probably fraternal. We do have some differences for sure.
They look enough alike, but different enough that it's like,
okay, that was gonna be my question. Yeah.
I was gonna phrase
it for the layman here. I didn't mean to get into a whole genetics discussion. Yeah. Do you look alike? That was my thing.
Yeah.
We do.
They do look alike, but you wouldn't probably get them confused.
Our voices, you could get confused. Our voices sound the same. She, her name's April, and she helped us out so much on the Appalachian Trail. She was such a trail angel. She drove all the way up, like brought us all the way to Shaw's Hiker Hostel.
She slack packed us for like 4 days straight in Maine. We wouldn't have, in the middle of nowhere. It was awesome.
Yeah. We wouldn't have made it to Katahdin in time. It closed 3 days after we summited October 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she helped us out a ton.
She was like slack packing us, and then she'd sleep in the 3-person tent with us, and then like slack pack again.
Yeah.
Now, Pickles, you can tell the truth now. Did April ever do a section of a hike pretending to be you? That's how you maintained your freshness and your strength.
You know, I always get the question, have we ever swapped before? But never as a through hiker.
Even better than slack packing. It's like twin packing or something. It's like slack twinning.
Nope. No, she didn't.
Would that be the appropriate term, slack twinning?
Yeah,
I think that's good. Slack twinning. Maybe we'll get her on the next one.
Slack swapping.
I don't know if she would be able to put up with me hitting her feet with the trekking poles, though.
Now, wait a second. Pickles, is this really you or is this April after the break? Did you guys swap out?
Oh, yeah. We did, actually. You can't really tell.
Brian, I would be paranoid. I would be paranoid. Are you two married? Or are you boyfriend and girlfriend?
Boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Boyfriend
and girlfriend. So I'd be constantly like, are they pulling a fast one on me? Is this really Kiki? Is this Pickles or is this the other one?
Yeah.
Sometimes from behind you can't really tell.
Yeah, there's been times where you've both been standing next to me and I've like put my arm around the wrong one for sure. For sure. It's happened.
Yeah, it's just funny.
And then April will like give me a look. She's like, you know,
well, as long as we're swapping stories, we were in a movie theater one time. We were at the snack counter, my wife and I. And this is early. This may have been before we were married. We went to a movie theater and I'm at the counter. I'm buying the popcorn and the candy and the drinks and all that. And she comes up and she's looking at something. I don't know what she's looking at, but she sidles up alongside what she thinks is me, but it's not me. It's some other guy. And she like kind of like rubs up against him and puts her arm around him. And then she looks up and she sees it's not me. And he's looking at her like, what's going on here? She turned like bright red. So I can appreciate the confusion. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. It's an embarrassing moment. The moment of realization.
And it's on the opposite side. It's like, I feel like it's also embarrassing. I've led my sister's boyfriend's, you know, when I pick up her phone and I'm like, hi, I'm like same voice. So you don't know. And then, you know, once the conversation gets to a certain point, I'm like, oh, it's me. It's not April. It's...
Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. But freight train, I would always, if I were you, I'd set up a code word. So you always know, who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
we had kind of code right. sounds.
Hey, now the two of you have a lot of different experiences, outdoor experiences that I would love to talk to you about, but I don't think we're gonna have enough time tonight. So if I can, I would like to save the AT and the whites and van life and national parks. Let's save that for a second episode. I can guarantee you come back on. We'll set up a code word when we're done here to make sure I get Kiki sure and not April, but. what Sounds I'd like good. To spend some time talking about is some of our common trips, the trips that we have in common with each other. I'd love to talk about the Trans Catalina Trail. I want to hear about your experience on Mineral King, and let's talk about your hike of the Tahoe Rim Trail.
All right. Yeah.
All right. What do you think? So, is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Can I get a commitment from you right now to come on for a second episode?
We would love to.
Okay, good.
Definitely.
Good. All right, so let's talk about Trans Catalina Trail. How did you hear about the trail, and when did you do it?
So
almost exactly a year ago for Valentine's Day. As soon as we moved to LA, we had barely found our groundings here, and it was so important to Brian that he get a hike in before he started his job like within like a day after we finished the Catalina Trail.
Yeah, so like coming back from a through hike, it's I think the hardest part is kind of readjusting to life and stuff, and you're so used to being outside. And like when we left for the AT, we moved out of our where we were living, and we both quit our jobs, so we didn't really have anywhere to go to. So we were kind of couch hopping and road tripping and stuff, and looking for work, applying to jobs. It was just like such a whirlwind. And so we finally found an apartment, and I got a job, and I had like a date I was supposed to start, and I just wanted to like do a backpacking trip. I just had to get out and like do another couple. We both really did, I feel like. So and that was like, I was just looking up like good backpacking trips near LA, because we were out here, and Catalina Island looked awesome. It was like they had a far out guide map of it, which was great because I was already used to using that. And I was instantly just super on board. It looked awesome, and it was awesome.
And it was a great way to say we were thru hikers that year, a 4-day thru hike. We were still thru hikers.
Yeah, really.
That's
We
right.
are still thru
Thru hikes come
hiking.
in all shapes and sizes. And what a unique little thru hike experience on an island off the coast of Southern California.
So beautiful. You can see the ocean from almost every single view. There's bison. And it was kind of our first experience hiking in a desert environment.
It
As soon
was,
as we
or out
set,
west at all.
yeah, as soon as we like took a step onto the trail, I was like, I had already been used to snakes around, but suddenly I was more afraid of snakes in
Yeah.
a desert.
And we were just so used to like the green tunnel. Like we just had never really hiked in like an exposed environment where it was just pretty open, just like small brush around. So it was pretty wild for us. It was a pretty foreign experience.
Yeah.
But so cool. The trail was like just beautiful, and the campsites were awesome. So we did it in 4 days, 3 nights. So we took the ferry early, and then we hiked to Blackjack the first day.
Yeah. And along those lines, for our listeners out there who may not be familiar with hiking the Trans Catalina Trail, they only have a handful of campgrounds on the island. And so you have to book them in advance per night, right?
Yeah,
It's I'm
you
going to spend
can't
this night
self
at this
camp if you're
campground,
there.
this night at this campground, et cetera. And so Blackjack is, I've done the same thing. I've, 4 days, 3 nights, and Blackjack is the first campground to sleep in. That's what, 12 miles in, 12, 13 miles in.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
12, 14 miles. Yeah, and it's pretty big climb too. That first day, you're really just going up all the way from Avalon. And yeah, it was beautiful. I liked Blackjack, but I feel like the other campsites are even better. It was cool being up there, but I think our favorite campsite was the following night. We stayed at Shark Harbor. That was so beautiful.
Yeah,
Really
to
cool.
camp on the beach like that, so amazing.
And that was Valentine's Day that we got to Shark Harbor. So we had like some red wine that we had been carrying, and like we
And
kind
some
of
pickles and
there were pickles were eaten
I
for
think you
sure.
might have surprised me with some
Yeah,
pickles.
I carried some pickles that you didn't know about, little surprise pickles.
Freight
I'm
Train's just a romantic at heart.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he is
I carry things. That's like
part of the freight
that's our
train.
love language, carrying
It
things for each other.
is.
Now, in between Blackjack and I think it's Little Harbor. Little Harbor has on the other side of the rock, the whale's tail, there is Shark Harbor, right? Yeah. So in between Blackjack and Little Harbor, there's another experience you get to take part in. Did you eat breakfast at
Oh yeah, at the
Catalina
airport.
Airport? Oh yeah.
Yes, yeah, we totally did. Yeah,
Yeah, we had a nice lunch there.
we are not ones to pass by a dining opportunity
No,
off the trail.
definitely
We'll
not.
never skip it. So yeah, that was great.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, that was
so
cool.
great. Yeah, we couldn't leave. We wanted to, pack out some souvenirs, but we had to carry it for another 2 days, but we didn't.
Yeah, Catalina is akin to hiking the Camino in that, there's eating opportunities available almost every day. So
Yeah.
that second day, I mean, you could eat the
Love
first
that.
day in Avalon if you wanted, but the second day you can definitely eat at the airport. And then the third day after you hike out of Little Harbor, you're going down into Two Harbors, which is a small, small town, but does have
Yeah.
restaurants there.
Yeah, we got a little microwave pizza at the store in Two Harbors. That was
Oh
nice.
yeah, that was nice.
That was pretty clutch. And
Yeah.
then we hiked out. Did you, when you've done it, have you hiked, like, I know, because the last part is a loop, and we hiked the road out to Parsons Landing, and then we hiked back the following day over the peak. I know, I think, like, technically you're supposed to go the other way,
Yeah, we
but
went their
we went
opposite
the opposite
way.
way.
Yeah, so the first I've done it three times. So the first two times I did the road both ways. And the third
Oh,
time
okay.
I said, I need to do the overland. I need to try that. And so we did the overland just this last summer
Pretty
out of Two
steep.
Harbors. We went from Two
Oh
Harbors overland to Parsons Landing and then took the road back. And I've got quite a story from that actual trip that I've been
Oh yeah.
trying to get my hiking partners to come on the podcast and tell that story with me, because it is just an unbelievable tale of COVID and separation between the people in our party, and then one person disappearing, the other person showing up, and a hospitalization,
Oh
and then
man,
me
what a
trying to
tale.
meet up and catch the ferry the next day back to San Pedro. It was chaos. It was absolute madness, and it all came together. It was just a wild, wild story that I really can't do justice without having Adam
Well,
tell the full
we'll have to
story.
listen to it when you get him on.
That sounds
Yeah,
crazy.
that overland route there, that was probably
The
the
steepest.
gnarliest part by far of the whole trail. It was
Honestly, one of the steepest inclines ever, like we've ever hiked. And it was a road. It's
Yeah, I'm trying to
crazy.
think of who had the better advantage, you hiking out of Parsons Landing going overland, or me hiking out of Two Harbors going overland. And they are both steep in several places, both ways.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it was steeper coming up from Parsons Landing. That seemed like the steepest part to me. And I definitely would have been much more scared going down that, because it's all just kind of like dirt. So you can kind of slip, you know, like if you're, walking up rocks and stuff, it's like kind of like steps. But if it's just a dirt road, like, I don't know, my feet kind of slipping out and stuff. It was it's pretty intense.
I did a freight train. I just charged ahead and turned around and watched Jukebox and Camp Director come down, slipping and sliding and landing on their keister a couple times. Yeah, it was dicey.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, almost unbelievable.
It was cool, but that view from, like, I think, is that the highest peak on all of Catalina Island? I think it
It
might
has
be
to
over
be. It has to be.
on that.
I think it's higher than Blackjack. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is, because I mean, it seemed like it from the top looking around. I didn't see anything higher.
Yeah.
Such a great view. And honestly, we just love that now whenever we, like, go to the beach, we can just look out and see Catalina Island, and you have that, we hiked that feeling, which is
Yeah.
always cool.
Let's see it if it's not too hazy. And you can see the
It's easy for you to
if
say.
myths.
Now,
Do you
what was your favorite stretch of that trail?
get it? The bison encounters.
Yes. I would, a couple of bison encounters that were awesome, but the coolest one, I thought, and my favorite stretch of trail, was coming between Little Harbor and Two Harbors, that little stretch when you're, like, right along the far side of the island, kind of, and, like, right near the edge of those cliffs there.
You're going straight up, you're going
So
straight
cool.
up, and you got the edge right on your
On
left.
the
I
edge.
mean, literally just feet away from where you're walking is just a sheer
Yeah.
drop off, and the
And
views are just crazy.
oh, so beautiful. So like, as we were coming up that hill, we saw, like, maybe a quarter mile away in the distance, what looked like a bush, and we thought it was a bush. And as we got closer, I was like, is that a bison?
Does
Like,
it
it
have?
kind of had, like, a horn shape, but it wasn't moving at all. So we just kind of thought it was a bush. But as we
We
got
had no
closer, it
idea.
definitely was a bison. And we had to walk, like, pretty close by it. And this bison was just sitting right on the edge of the cliff, just, like, looking out over the ocean. He was just
So
chilling, just
stoic.
having a real nice morning.
Yeah.
And it
We
was just so cool.
just meditating there on the
Just
edge.
meditating there. I don't know what he was doing. He like
Just looking
he
out
was
into
just
the
looking. He was
ocean.
just staring out.
And we could not tell it was a bison until we were like right
Yeah.
near it.
Even to this day, I question if it was just a statue of bison because it was so
No, it was real.
No, it moved. We definitely moved.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. That was definitely a memorable moment on the trail.
Yeah. Best campsite?
I think I liked Shark Harbor the most, but I think only because when we were at Parsons Landing, it kind of rained on us a little bit and the wind was insane. Like our tent came down on us a couple times throughout the night. And
we didn't think we were even going to set it up. It was so windy. And, you know, it was like his first, he sets up the tent too. So
I do it all.
Freight train does everything. and so he was like trying to, he's like, wasn't sure if he was going to be able to set it up in the sand and the wind. But once you had it up, it stayed up.
Yeah.
It had to get creative with the rocks and stuff. Cause with the triplex, you know, it's a trekking pole tent. You got to stake it down. You know, poles.
Now I love Parsons Landing, but this last trip, I took the camp director booked the whole trip. And I told her that we need to get one of the sites at Little Harbor close to the beach. And she was able to book the spot right at the beach.
Oh yeah.
Right there at the end of the grass. It was epic. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally awesome.
Yeah. Wow. I like that. That little, like the harbor there is so cool with that big rock you can stand up and that was really cool.
Yeah.
For sure. I think I like that harbor more.
Okay. Now let's move on to Mineral King. Cause that's another one of my favorites. I've done it twice. It is tough. It is so tough.
Yeah,
it's just like a 3-day hike and, you know, 30 something miles. Mm-hmm. But there are two passes, Black Rock Pass and Sawtooth Pass.
Yeah.
Did you do the loop? Did you do it clockwise or counterclockwise?
We did clockwise. So we finished on Sawtooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started going towards Black Rock. Yeah.
Borrowed Guides needs to come out up with a trail map for that because we were just following this guy's journal.
Oh yeah, yeah. I found some like trip report of. I was trying to find like, you know, I downloaded some maps. I like downloaded some trip reports from people where I could kind of read through. And we were following this one. It was like the most detailed one I could find, but got, you know, bless this poor man, got lost like 8 times. So his trip report was not the most helpful. I would be like, oh man, like that's not the way you go.
Now let's talk about the drive to Mineral King. Even before the trip starts, the drive to Mineral King is absolutely crazy. You're on a windy road in the middle of nowhere, it seems like, for hours.
Yeah. And I get pretty motion sickness. Yeah. Like
that was rough.
Easily. So I had to keep stopping because that was so hard.
Yeah, that was hard.
We got through it though.
Yep. And did you have to put a tarp underneath your car?
Yeah, we the only tarp that we could get was huge. We got this like giant tarp and
for my minivan.
We did a full wrap. We like tied that thing on the top with like a bow. It was like our whole car was inside.
And for our listeners out there who are thinking, why are they tarping their car? Yeah. Why would you have to tarp your car at Mineral King?
Marmots.
Yeah, the marmots, they like to get in and they'll chew out your wiring and stuff. And I guess
I hated them before I knew them. And then we saw a few and I was like, oh, they're so cute. Like, I hope they don't chew up our car, but they're adorable.
We forgave them. We were like, even if they did chew up our car, they're so cute that
it's okay.
We forgive them in advance for doing that. But they didn't. The car was fine. So the tarp worked.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny pulling up to that trailhead and every single car was wrapped up in a tarp.
Right. Now, did you guys have any difficulty? There were a couple of very strenuous parts of that hike. You know, day one heading up to like Pinto Lake was, my thighs were cramping up. It was quite a haul.
We camped up near there, I'm pretty sure.
And we were struggling with the elevation, sickness.
We crammed us into like a 3-day weekend or something like that. So we were, you know, drove up from
puffing,
LA.
Puffing.
So that first day we were really feeling the elevation.
Yeah. Our heads were just pounding.
Yeah. I would say like overall, we probably slightly underestimated that whole, you know, the whole trail. It was, like you said, it was pretty hard. The going was slow. It was, I feel like we got pretty confident on the Catalina Trail with how like we're like, oh, these West Coast trails, they're not as hard as the AT. Like we're flying out here. It's not so rocky. And then we took it up to the Sierras and we're like, okay, yeah, this is hard. This is pretty gnarly.
The Mineral King Loop, that's where Chopper earned his trail name.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
He got altitude sickness when we went over Black Rock Pass.
Oh,
And
really?
there was no way to get him down without going over
Yeah.
Sawtooth or going back down over Black Rock. So they had to helicopter him out.
Oh,
So
my God.
it
Wow.
was Chopper.
Scary.
That's a great story for a trail name, though. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
Wow.
But after
One
he
of
was choppered out, we asked the ranger. He gave us a tip on where to stay that night. And so we was at the I get these confused. Little Lakes, right over Black Rock. Is it the Little
Yeah,
Five
the
Lakes?
Little Five Lakes, I think.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
there's Little Five Lakes Ranger Station there. He told us, if you keep going, you're gonna turn the corner and get to the next set of lakes, and there is a granite outcrop about 40 feet above the lake. You have to do a little extra climbing to get there, but you've got this great view of the lake, and in the background behind the lake is, in the distance, Mount Whitney. And he
Oh,
was,
that's
I wasn't
awesome.
lying. It was a spectacular
Oh,
spot.
that's cool.
That's where he would go. So,
Nice.
wow.
Yeah,
What
we'll
was
have to
that
go
lake
back
that
now.
we loved so much?
On, I don't remember.
Well,
Oh,
Sawtooth.
yeah, it was the one at the top by
Yeah.
Sawtooth. What's the name of the lake that's up by the top?
Columbine?
Yeah,
Yes,
Columbine. Oh
Columbine.
my
We would have
gosh,
stayed
that
there
was like,
forever if we could have.
yeah, that's where
Yeah.
you talk about life being better above the tree line. That's like, I would
Yeah.
live on Lake Columbine.
Also, on the top of
So
Sawtooth,
perfect.
we have kind of become obsessed with echoes. When you get to a spot where, on top of Sawtooth, for example, also Saddlebacks in Maine, where you can, scream something and it just travels so far and
Yeah.
slaps you back in the face
Yeah.
and.
It was so cool standing up at the top of that bowl and you can just hear your voice just doing the like it like makes the whole loop around, it's like so cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember hiking up to Black Rock Pass and then off to your, I mean, as you're hiking up there, you're not quite yet to the pass, but off to the right, down in that valley, you see a series of lakes feeding into each other. Like there's a lake here and a
Yes.
lake below it, and then a lake, there's like a third lake down below. That top lake, that's Columbine Lake. And
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're looking at where you're going to be the next day and a half,
Yep.
right? I didn't realize it
Yeah.
at the time,
So
but
cool.
I got that. I'm like, this is what I was looking at. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, seeing those lakes kind of cascading down. Oh, so beautiful. It was really cool. That was such a cool area. And we saw like so few people. Like it was so kind of empty. And
Yeah.
yeah, it was such a great trip.
Except for the last part, getting down to our car was
Yeah. We had
rough.
a pretty gnarly experience going over Sawtooth
Yeah,
because
my life flashed before my eyes. Like that, I don't usually feel like hiking is that dangerous, but this was a very dangerous situation we got ourselves into.
yeah.
Accidentally, we lost the trail.
Well, there is no trail because you come up over like Sawtooth Pass and it's just kind of like a what do they call it? Scree type rock, like all the way down. And we were following the trail guide of the guy who was a little bit of a dubious source. And so we kind of like we hung left. We tried to kind of like cut across the mountain to go down a little bit instead of just going down straight, which seemed like a great idea at first. But then as we went down, we all of a sudden got to a place where it was like a sheer rock, like drop off. And
With like gravel on top, though. So we were just like sliding around. We couldn't find our
yeah.
grip anywhere. And so we had to just like skate down this mountain that was just moving rocks and some like really big rocks. And I was like kind of panicking, but we just had to keep going because we had
Yeah.
no idea. Like we thought we were close to the trail, but we realized we definitely weren't.
Yeah, we went the bad way. It was we there was one point where I like crawled down in this little like crack between these two rocks and Pickles stepped down And she stepped onto this big rock, like a huge rock, bigger than either of us are. And the whole rock just came loose and just was sliding down towards me through the sand. And I
thought it was going to like crush.
I had to pretty much like jump out of the way, and this rock like slid right by me. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, but like, you know, we just took it really slow and like tried to keep our body weight lower to the ground and keep 3 points contact and
calculate every single step.
Yeah, make sure you're real sure before you put your weight on your next step.
And we would like get like kind of like towards a cliff and like look over the edge, and we realize like, oh man, we gotta go left or right here, because that's just down. And
yeah, sheer.
It was so scary. I felt so relieved when we got to the bottom, and I was in such a panic getting down there that I was just like. I mean, Brian was like very helpful and courageous. Like he cared so much that I was so almost beside myself, because I was just like very upset at the situation we were in.
Yeah.
But it only lasted like an hour. So
yeah,
we were okay.
Yeah. You get over Sawtooth and you have to like skate down this pumice field, and it there is no trail. I looked hard for a trail. I've done it twice. And I said the second time, I'm going to find the trail. I know there's a trail there. I couldn't find the trail.
No, it's
dicey. Yeah.
It's like good luck. Just scramble your way up or scramble your way down and don't go the cliff way. So if you're going over Sawtooth, just even though it looks steep, just go straight down. Don't
hang left.
Don't try to get creative.
Now getting to Sawtooth, there's a little stretch there called the Lost Valley, which I thought was really cool as well.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, that was one of the most beautiful parts.
Yeah, it kind of looks like your background.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, kind of a little bit. Yeah, that was awesome. We saw some really cool. That was like that was the marmot zone. There was like so many little marmots in that area.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Tahoe Rim Trail. So the Tahoe Rim Trail circumnavigates Lake Tahoe, of course. It's 173 miles. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about that.
Somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through Desolation Wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
The southwest side of the lake. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you guys?
We did it in 12 days.
Okay. I
believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was, so we started on the east side. Basically, that's like the dry side. There's like pretty much you have to go like a full day with your water carries every day over there. And there's this one place at Spooner Summit where you have to do like a 2 mile spur trail off to fill water. So we decided to start there so we could skip that spur to go to Spooner Lake
and break up those that long.
Yeah. And like just to break up. So basically we'd have like a really long water carry or two at the beginning of our trip and a really long day or two at the end of the trip, instead of having like 4 or 5 days of long water carries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was our thinking about it, at least. So we went counterclockwise and we hiked from there over towards Tahoe City, which is the only have you hiked the Tahoe Rim Trail or any parts of it?
I have set foot on the Tahoe Rim Trail. But yeah, that was during a trip with my wife, and we just did a little hike. So that was by Tahoe City. Yeah.
By Tahoe City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tahoe City was really cool. That's a really, really good part of the trail. But the crown jewel of the whole trail was by far definitely the Desolation Wilderness. It's just like something else over there. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's just like the glaciers like came through and just scraped away like all of the dirt. So it's just like
a different
bare rock.
Yeah.
And just
the lake.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of little lakes and alpine lakes. It was
amazing. We spent one day in the Desolation Wilderness where we took an easy day of only 10 miles and stopped and jumped in every single lake we passed, which was like almost every mile.
Yeah. It was about 7 lakes that we swam in, and then we'd dry off, hike for 20 minutes
and then jump in again. And then that night actually, we had some of the most incredible stargazing experiences we've ever had. We saw, first we thought we were going crazy when we saw the Starlink satellites, just like going, so many of them in the same speed, like same line. It was crazy.
Yeah, we thought we were tripping.
You think it was an invasion?
Yeah, we were like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then everyone
And
we
then,
told about, they're like, it's just the Starlink satellites. So we're like,
oh, well,
we
it
thought
looks.
we thought we saw some unique phenomenon.
Yeah. But we did when we, so we laid out our sleeping pad out under the stars and just watched the, because it was a meteor shower.
Yeah, as the Perseid meteor shower was going
Yeah.
on.
So we were
Yeah.
seeing all these shooting stars, and then we saw this one that we, it might have just been our, the way we remember it, but we swear we heard it. It was so close, and it went from one end of the horizon to the other, and it was like the brightest,
Yeah, it was bright
largest,
red too.
like
And
we thought we heard it go like shing, and we're like,
that might have just
holy
been our
crap.
memory
Yeah.
making that up. I feel like, because it looked so cool that it almost sounded like that.
Is there any missing time around that story?
I don't know. I
Yeah.
mean, we weren't really paying attention to the time, you know. We were just laying out at Fontanelles Lake, just looking at the stars for like
We
hours.
thought we could.
Chopper has booked a, I think, a 35, 37-mile trip through desolation on that part of the Tahoe Rim Trail for this summer that he's invited me to. So I'm hoping
Oh,
to make that trip. That'll be
nice.
incredible.
You should absolutely do it. Yeah,
Yeah.
we camped at Fontanelles Lake, which was amazing, and then Aloha Lake, which is just one of the coolest places I've ever been. It was awesome. Yeah, loved that. But the Tahoe Rim Trail was just such a great trail. Just the fact it was just so easy. It just has like two towns it goes through. Like the resupply was very simple. Logistically, it's an easy trail. The grade is pretty forgiving, but the scenery is incredible. You know, like when you actually are surprisingly, you don't have a view of the lake as much as you'd think. Like people kind of think that you're just walking around the lake, but you're really, you know, you're pretty far away from the lake whole time. You're never really close to it at all. But just the views of the lake and the camp spots that we had were just spectacular. We
Yeah.
had, it was some of the best nights of camping that we've ever had, I feel like, on
And we got to
almost
hike
every night.
a little part of the PCT, and we swear we saw some PCT through hikers,
Oh, we
which
definitely
made
did.
us feel pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool to, yeah, that was technically our first section hike on the PCT as we're preparing to hopefully do that next year.
Nice. Which brings us to what's next for Freight Train and Pickles. You guys are planning on doing the PCT in 24?
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah,
if we can,
if we can.
if it all
We're trying to,
lines up.
I don't know, permits are tough. Like, we're trying to get permits for the John Muir Trail or
Yeah, for
Mount
this summer.
Langley.
Yeah, we're trying to, I'm like a permit wizard now. I have so many permits I'm trying to apply for. I'm like trying to do like the rim to rim in Grand Canyon, and I'm like trying to do, I just have all these permit feelers out, just trying to see
Yeah.
what we can do this summer.
So I guess it's just up to which permit we can
Yeah,
get.
but if we could pick, it would be John Muir Trail this summer, probably like August. And then yeah, PCT next year. And then after that, I mean, we have big hopes. Like we would love to do, I think our dream hike is to do the Te Arora Trail
In New
out in New
Zealand.
Zealand. That's
Yeah.
kind of, I honestly feel like we would do that before the CDT, even though like we would like to go for the Triple Crown. I feel like it's not as much about getting the Triple Crown. Like we just want to do what we want to do. We just
Yeah.
have so much fun out there.
We want to go international soon, like the Croatia trail. There's just so many trails to do. We gotta, pick and choose wisely, I feel like, because we only have so much time. Although
Yeah.
I think we'll probably hike for the rest of our lives if we can.
Yeah, we'll be
Yeah.
like nimble will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Nimble will nomad.
Yeah.
Do the Croatian long trail and let Nikola Horvat, aka Tesla, know that Doc sent you.
Cool.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Yes. All right. Hey, you two, you know where we are right now?
No, where are we?
Not sure. The insult of the week.
Thank you for playing along. Although I know you know exactly where we are, it's time for the pro tip insight of the week. And in this special episode, we get two for one. We get two pro tips, one from each of you. So,
All right, here,
Pickles
I'll go.
or Freight Train, why don't you share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better? What do you have?
All right, so this is my little practical tip that helped us a lot on the Appalachian Trail, and that is fish oil pills. We took fish oil pills the whole Appalachian Trail, and they are really great for your joints, your knees, ankles, and stuff, your bones. It helped us a lot. I was actually, there was times where we would forget to take them. They were like, we'd like didn't have them for a week or two, and I for sure noticed the difference. Like, I think it took the edge off of our,
Okay.
definitely saved us some pain.
Excellent. That's the first time we've heard that pro tip. So
Really?
congratulations. Yeah,
That's what I was
unique.
hoping for. There you go.
All right. Pickles, how about you?
I feel like I kind of want to get deep with it. Because yeah, I mean, like, I suggest like, wrapping some duct tape around your pole, or if you're still using Nalgene, just carry a water bottle. But I think what helped me, or what I kind of to get through the hike, through hikes, and embrace the suck, I think it's just taking the trail at what is, it is what it is. Like, man, I'm gonna get caught up in my words here, but I feel someone suggested that you don't think of it as conquering the trail or the mountains, but instead it's like a parade. And sometimes I would just be hiking, considering myself a one-man parade, just hiking through and enjoying it, and keeping up with him who enjoys everything. I had to just really just embrace the trail for what it is. And some you just you know there's a lot of lows, but those lows make those highs feel so great. The showers and the just a bed and the connections you meet on trail. The trail really changed me, honestly. I compared to living in society versus outside of society, I found that my mental health was somewhere it has never been in my life, where there is no stress or anxiety, and I was present and I connected with people and nature and myself like I had never before. And yeah, I think just staying present and embracing the suck is my pro tip, which is kind of, I'm stealing it from you, I guess.
That's okay. Deep thoughts with Pickles. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's a
That.
complete package. The trail is a complete package. It has the highs and the lows, and you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick which one. I mean, it all comes together. It's a mixed bag, and accepting it for what it is, I think, is a really outstanding tip. So thank you for that, Pickles.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Brian and Christina. Want to thank them for joining us this week. How can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Yeah, you can follow us on Trekking Through. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We even had little stickers made to give out along
Love
the
it.
trail, which we kind of gain our followers one person at a time. So yeah, we actually are just about to wrap up our Appalachian Trail thru hike. We filmed the whole thing, and our last episode is coming up next.
Our Katahdin Summit video will be coming out like next week or something pretty soon. So keep an eye out for that. And then after that, it's going to be the Trans Catalina Trail. I'll be posting videos of that
Awesome.
next. So
Oh
yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
awesome.
it's gonna be
Coming soon.
I need to subscribe.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
I have a huge backlog.
Yeah, he does a, he's a video editor by trait, so they're really good.
Yeah, that's my
Okay. We
profession.
we've
I
been
will
told
check. I
that.
will check it out.
Yeah.
Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The adventure media recommendation.
All right, you two. I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of outdoor media to keep our listeners connected to the trail. Call this our adventure media recommendation. Do we also get a two for one here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of
Okay.
course. I guess, or I'll go first. So I just finished reading this book. It's called Almost Somewhere by Suzanne Roberts. It's about Her hiking the John Muir Trail back in 1993 with a couple of her girlfriends, and it was a great read. Yeah, it was really good. I love the way that she kind of captures the whole arc emotionally of like the through hike. You know what I mean? Kind of condensed down and you know, preparing for the John Muir Trail. It was cool to read all about the specifics
almost,
of all that.
So, almost somewhere.
Almost somewhere. Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
The JMT in 93. I'm always fascinated to hear about people who did this kind of stuff before all of the resources and technology were available. So I'm going to check that out. Thank
it's
you.
Interesting. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's more, it's not much has changed, honestly. You'd be surprised. Yeah.
All right. How about you, Pickles?
We actually got a few of these books, Folly and Molly, Take on the Appalachian Trail. It's a really lovely children's book that we gifted some of our little kiddo friends for Christmas. And it is such a fun, rhyming story that really captures the Appalachian Trail in such an accurate way that it's, you know, it's fun for adults too.
Have you listened to the episode?
No, we haven't.
I had the author. Yes,
we should listen to her. Yeah,
cool.
We love that book. It was great.
Yeah,
great recommendation. You need to reach out to her on social media and let her know that her work made it as an adventure media recommendation on the podcast.
I will. I related to it not only as a thru hiker but as a twin too. Not that I hiked with my twin, but maybe someday we will.
Yeah. Right.
What have we not asked you?
All right. Hey, and our last segment before we wrap things up is what have I not asked you that you're dying to tell us about? What do we miss tonight? I mean, we skipped a lot of ground that we're saving for a second episode, but what else do you want to tell us?
I don't think we mentioned our adoring couple that we hiked the last 1,000 miles with. I guess on our next episode with you, we'll have to talk all about our friends Sweetheart and U-Haul, our best friends. They're so great.
Yeah, we hiked 1200 miles with them, so we would be remiss if we didn't give them the old shout out here.
Yeah,
we
same guys. Same with Walmart, who's we were hiked his it was his third year on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, Walmart's a legend. If you should, have you ever heard of Walmart? You should interview him. He's like the AT 4 years in a row now.
Okay.
So he's done it since 2018. He's done it every year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's been on the podcast before. He's great. Okay. And those are just some shout outs. Same with this is a bead by bead necklace that I got at the Quarter Way Inn. It's just a map of the Appalachian Trail in beads.
Very cool.
And I also just want to ask, what was your third word that you were trying to fit in?
I'm sure I worked it in somewhere. I forget what it was. Maybe it was, I think it was slack twinning. It just happened to come up.
That came up organically. Amazing.
That's right. Hey, Freight Train, I'm going to put you on the spot. If April were to have a trail name, what would it be?
Ooh.
Wow.
It would be like,
named her yet.
It would be like star sign or something like that. Some astrology.
Oh yeah.
Star sign. Okay. I'm gonna call it that.
It's cool.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember the trail is the trail. Doesn't care if you want to go downhill. Doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you've almost skated over your hiking partner with a huge rock on the backside of Sawtooth Pass. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.
Yes.